In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." I want to welcome everyone to the services this morning. It's good to see everyone out that's able to be with us. The lesson this morning, I am hard pressed between the two. As we go through the lesson, don't take my word on anything that I see, that I say. Read it yourself in the Bible so that you can know that what we are preaching is from God's word and not man's word. If you have any questions, if you disagree with anything that I say, I'll be glad to discuss those things with you. So for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians, and in this letter, Paul expresses three desires. One of them is that he be found in Christ, Philippians 3:9. The second one, that he be magnified in Christ, chapter 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. And the third thing that he brings out in this letter is that he will be with Christ in verse 23. So in this lesson, I want to focus on Paul's desire to depart and be with Christ. This was a dilemma that he had. This was his strait that he was in, that he was between. He didn't know what was the best thing to do. So Paul says to live as Christ, and this meant this was his main objective in living, to glorify Christ, to magnify Christ, that souls might be saved and be brought to the Lamb of God. So to Paul, Christ was the essence of life. That's what life was all about. In verse 21, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." This was Paul's passion. You hear people today ask someone, "Well, what's your passion?" "Oh, my passion is gardening. My passion is knitting. My passion is doing this. My passion is doing that." Friends, our passion should be to live for Christ, to make Christ the model of our life. We just sang, and I appreciate Ryan leading that song for us, "Jesus is all the world to me." Do we just say those words and forget about it? Or do we mean it? Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. So, Jesus is the one that we depend on. He should be the essence and model of our life. And to every faithful Christian, that is a great comfort in life. You think about, and I know I say it over and over, you think about all the things going on in the world, and there's been all kinds of things going on in the world since the beginning of time, the battle between evil and good. But how can people have peace of mind if they do not have Christ? If they think that this life here is all that there is and that there's not something better waiting for us. Jesus gives us strength. He gives us encouragement. He aids us. He assists us. And so to live indeed is Christ. And then Jesus is the reward of life. Christ is the source and the hope of glory in a better world. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also." This is such a comforting promise. Just as sure as Jesus left this world and ascended into heaven, he's going to return. he is going to return for his faithful saints. So here's our reward: to live, to be with Christ throughout all the ages. Isn't that what we want? To be free from the pain and suffering in this world? Now let me ask you a question. What is your goal in life? What is your passion in life? What is your ambition in life? What is your pleasure in life? Do you have to go looking for it in all the things of the world? Or do you just open your Bibles and it's right there in front of us? The peace, the comfort, the assurance that God gives us. With a lot of people in the world, their goal in life is material things or money. And they aren't bashful about letting you know what they have, where they've been, what they do. And they want to accumulate more and more. I was listening to something this morning, and the person was speaking, and within 30 seconds, he mentioned how many million dollars he had and how many businesses he had and how many properties he had all over the place. That's what some people focus on. And you don't have to have a lot to be guilty of having that lust for material things. And I call it a lust. There's nothing wrong with having material things. We need material things to survive, but we should not lust after them and want more and more, because you know what? As soon as you get that new car, it's not a new car anymore, it's an old car. You get that newest, latest, greatest phone, you know what? Next year it's not going to be the newest, greatest, latest one. Those things don't satisfy. Some people just want the things of this world. But Paul said, for me to live is Christ. He didn't say, for me to live is money. And you think about Paul. Paul gave up what he had. He gave up his position. He gave up his standing. For some people, it's fame. They live to be famous. And they get a chance to be in the entertainment industry or something, or in politics, and they get fame and people know them, and they forget about Christ. One of the congregations that supported me for several years, and this was several years ago, and they were outside of Nashville, and we were down there for the weekend. I was preaching there, and on that Sunday evening, there was a band member that was from Loretta Lynn's band, I believe, yeah, that was a member of the church and had come to that congregation for services that evening. A lot of people in the entertainment industry wouldn't even think about going to church two times a year, let alone making sure they came to meet with the saints on a Sunday. There's a lot of people, they make their ambition to have the pleasures of life. And again, the pleasures of life aren't going to satisfy, because once you try this, well, that's old now. I got to get a bigger rush. I got to get a bigger thrill. It's got to be bigger, faster. Friends, when we find Christ, he should be the meaning of our life. He should be the center of our life. And everything else should revolve around Christ. What did Paul say? For me to live is Christ, not money, not fame, not pleasure, not worldly knowledge, but Christ. To Paul, Christ was first, Christ was last, Christ was always. Everything else becomes secondary. Jesus is all the world to me. Jesus should be the number one priority in our lives. And that's the way I understand being a Christian in the New Testament. And you look at congregations today, and I've heard it explained, this is an old illustration. People are either converted to a preacher. Oh, I like to listen to this preacher. I'm going to go here because this is where this preacher preaches. I like to listen to this preacher. They're converted to a preacher or they're converted to a congregation. Oh, they've got the nicest building. They've got, you just wouldn't believe how nice that congregation is and how things look there. So they're converted to a preacher or a congregation, or they're converted to Christ. Friends, we want to be converted to Christ. Christ must be the center of our life. We must put Him first in our lives, honor Him, and serve Him in everything that we do. So when we get an education, we put Christ first. And when our kids were talking about going to college or it would be nice to go to this one or that one, one of the first questions I would ask them is, and where are you going to worship? We've got to get our children thinking of putting Christ first. The pleasures of life, nothing wrong with having pleasure. Going places, doing things, we've got to put Jesus first. You see, all of these activities should be regulated around putting Christ first. Jesus is all the world to me. Jesus is all the world to me. Well, except if I'm on vacation. Jesus is all the world to me, unless it's deer season. Jesus is all the world to me, unless the fish are biting good today. Jesus is all the world to me, unless my boss wants me to come in and work on Sunday. Friends, do we put Jesus first? Do we let people know that we work with that we put Jesus first? Paul, in his writing, you can tell that he's thinking about death and dying. He says, to die is gain, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It takes a lot of faith to make that statement. Are you ready to die today? Are you ready if Christ comes back? We don't even like to think about that. And you see, you know, not to get off the subject, but you see older people sometimes that, you know, they don't have a lot of time, yet they go into debt for 20, 30 more years with this or that, and they think they're going to live forever. Friends, we aren't. When Paul came to the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. So here he was just prior to his execution, and he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have run the race. Now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. This is confidence that Paul had. And brethren, this is the confidence that every one of us should have. There shouldn't be any place for doubt in our lives. Well, I hope I'm going to heaven. I think I'm going to heaven. Are you sure you're going to heaven? Are you sure? If you have a doubt, why do you have a doubt? Is there something in your life that you need to change? Is there something that you think that Christ didn't reveal to you that you need to do? Is there something that we can blame God on when we get to judgment? Or are we ready to die to be with Christ? And I'm not saying we need to want to go right now, but I'm saying we need to always live so that we are always ready. We are always ready. And, you know, the older we get, the more our bodies wear out. But the older we get, the more wisdom we get that we need to share with younger people to direct them in the right paths and to not make so many of life's mistakes. But we should thank God for having the assurance that we can know, that we can know that we are saved, that we have heaven waiting for us. I think about all those people that think that God is still giving revelation today. How can they have assurance about anything? What if they don't have the latest revelation from God? But God has revealed everything. It's been written down for us. It's been it's been kept for us, that we can know what to do. So to Paul, it was gain because he was a Christian. He'd been redeemed by the blood of Christ. He'd been reconciled to God. He knew that he was safe in the arms of Jesus. That's another beautiful song that we sing. That's a great comfort. And when I think of that, I think of the baby that we have here. You take a baby, and there can be something going on, and the mother, the daddy picks up that baby, and you just see that baby hug him and hang on, and then whatever's going on out there in the world doesn't matter at all, because mama's got me, daddy's got me. Friends, if we're a Christian, Jesus has us. We're safe in the arms of Jesus. All of us should be able to say that. So Paul said there that his time of departure is at hand. In Philippians 1:23, he says, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. This having a desire to depart is a euphemism for death. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And I have to ask myself, how much do I love Christ? Do I love him just a little, or is he my all? You think about a husband and wife relationship. Say you're separated for a time. It's on work. You're called away. Whatever reason, you're separated for a time. Do you desire to be with your spouse? I can't wait till I'm reunited with my spouse. Why is that? It's because of that love that you have, that affection that you have. What if somebody said, well, I don't care if I see him again or not? You'd say, what's wrong with that person? What about us with Christ? Do we desire? When am I going to see him? Do we have that relationship with Christ? When am I going to see my brother? When am I going to see my master? When am I going to see my king? Paul said, I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Sometimes I think we don't have a dilemma. We don't have a problem. We don't recognize we have a problem. We have a different problem, because we do not see Christ as our all, as our everything. My desire to depart and be with Christ. That's the same as the Greeks would talk about a ship taking up the anchor of a ship and setting off to depart, to go to their destination. It would be the same as tents. Paul was a tent maker. You make tents. What do? You fasten that tent to the ground. You take stakes. You drive those stakes down into the ground. My time of departure is at hand. You pull those stakes up so that you can leave. And I heard this stuck with me years and years and years and years ago. Someone said, and friends, we need to make sure that we don't drive our stakes in the ground too deeply here, because we're just passing through. We're going to pull up those stakes and we're going to head on. But what do? We drive our stakes down as hard as we can, and I'm going to be here forever. No, we aren't. And how many people do we know that thought they were going to be here a lot longer than they were, and they're gone? So Paul says to have a desire to depart and be with Christ. To die, my friends, is gain, because it means freedom from this body that we live in. And you think about that for a minute. This body is temporary. We all think when we're young that we're invincible, that we can do anything, and then we forget that we aren't. And then God reminds us as we get older that we aren't going to last forever. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5, he says that we are in this tabernacle. He's talking about this human, frail, physical, earthly body. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. There are burdens in life. There are difficulties living in this body. There are aches, pains. But he says that one day we're going to be set free from the body. He says that we should not be unclothed. That is, our spirits, when we die, our spirit is going to be clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up. We sing the song sometimes in the resurrection morning. When the dead in Christ shall rise, we shall rise, we shall rise. We're going to have that new body. We're going to be clothed in immortality. We're sown in weakness, we're raised in power. We're sown in a physical body, we're raised in a spiritual body. We are sown in corruption, we are raised in incorruption. And there's this freedom that we have. And you talk about that experience when the Lord comes, when he returns. That is going to be an awful experience. All mean full of awe. Amazing. It's going to be, for those that are in Christ, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful, full of awe and amazement. On the other hand, it's going to be awful. It's going to be like when we think of something as bad, awful, because we are outside of Christ. He's going to return with the archangel, and there's going to be a shout, and all those that are in the tombs and the graves will come forth for that resurrection. And the spiritual bodies will envelop the soul that now lives in our mortal bodies and will live with Christ throughout eternity. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Here's the Christian hope. Hope is something that is real. If we are a Christian and we're living the Christ, we have hope. And that's something the world doesn't have. And that's why Paul could say, for me to die is gain. I'm ready to depart and be with Christ. He had hope to move out of this old, run-down, broken world and to move into that celestial city where, in figurative language, the streets are paved with gold and God is the sunshine. There is no darkness. And then death will be an end, but it will also be a beginning. It'll be the beginning of a new life. Zig Ziglar, I believe he was a Baptist, but one thing that always sticks in my mind from what he said, friends, You gotta prepare for dying because you're going to be dead a lot longer than you've been alive here. And when you understood what he meant, eternity is eternity. And we're here for just a short moment of time in the big scheme of things. Are you tired of sin? Are you tired of temptations? Of struggling with things? You think, I've got this conquered, and then Satan comes in the back door and you slip up again. You think you got your tongue under control and somebody says something and there goes your tongue again. Or somebody else's tongue, but you're listening to the gossip and saying, oh, I shouldn't be listening to this. In heaven, all the temptations, they're going to be gone. There's going to be no temptation. We'll be through with sin. We'll be through with the cares of life. That's the Christian's rest that we have. And You think about all the troubles and things and the plagues that confront us day to day. Those won't be on the other side. They will all be gone. There's going to be no more pain, no more sorrow. And I want to go there. I want to go there, don't you? Do you think your friends might want to go there? And Jesus offers that to us. God offers that to us. But he tells us you can't go the way you are. You have to repent. You have to repent. You have to come to me. You have to recognize who I am. And you have to do what I say. Like we were talking about in class this morning, the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, the second. That's nothing new. That goes back from the beginning of time. In different ages, he's told us different ways to love him and things to do. But he has revealed all of that to us today. But Paul says he's in a dilemma. I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Friends, we need to live with Christ in the center of our life. We need to live where he is our all. We need to live where the decisions that we make in life revolve around putting Christ first. And then when we do die, or when Christ does return, we are prepared. It won't be a problem when we're living for Christ. I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. It's like Paul anticipated, looked forward to heaven so much. He said, I'd really like to go right now. I'd really like to go. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Friends, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? We've got to get ready. One of those things that we need to do is to get rid of our sins. We need to be baptized for the remission of our sins. When we're baptized, then the Lord adds us to his church. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were saved. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.